Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Tiger appears at the Masters. Do you think that's possible, Scott Van Pelt?
It wouldn't shock me if he tried.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's entirely possible Tiger Woods shows up at Masters next week at Augusta National and actually tries to play.
And nearly losing the leg?
He could play in the Masters.
Today's guests, LA Times NFL columnist Sam Farmer, WWE superstar Becky Lynch, actor Josh Lucas, plus Primanti Brothers president Adam Gallone. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Can confirm. It is the Rich Eisen Show, and I am your host here in Los Angeles, California. We're four wide. We're all over the map today. When you got a WWE superstar, and you've got actor Josh Lucas in studio, and you know, we're talking about creating our own sandwich with Primanti Brothers in hour number three, or Primanti Brothers. And then joining us in hour number one shortly, in just 15 minutes' time, is our good buddy from the LA Times, our next-door neighbor across the way. We brought him a cup of sugar. Sam Farmer will be joining us here on the program. We say hello to our NBC Sports on Peacock audience. We say hello to all of you. For those who are listening on Sirius XM Channel 85 NBC Sports Audio or the Odyssey app Coast to Coast or this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us, I am wearing mauve. Today is a mauve day, a very mauve. And then there's mauve.
And then there's mauve.
So just painting word pictures.
We say hello. People need to know, Rich.
Yeah, we say hello to our podcast listeners because you are just as important as the live listeners. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for anybody that might miss anything on this program. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
What's up, man?
A lot. Jay Felly, good to see you, sir, in your position. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts is not here. And TJ Jefferson, you're lighting the candle.
Rich, you're wearing mauve. I'm repping Becky Lynch today.
Yes, the man. You're wearing the man t-shirt. Lots to talk about. WrestleMania is coming up this weekend right here on Peacock. We're very excited about it, not just because we're trying to make sure TJ Jefferson gets a ticket for Saturday night in the Metroplex.
Yeah, who's in Dallas?
Okay.
Maybe Uncle Jerry will let me in the box.
No. By the way, I need to know who your plus one is. You can't just dilly-dally around. I literally need to know. You got to lock that down. And I am using Rich Eisen's show airtime to actually discuss this.
Why wouldn't you?
Okay.
It's important.
So, we share everything here. And so Becky Lynch will be on the program coming up in hour number two. Hey, everybody. I people keep asking me all the time, what's going on in the NFL? And I'll just give you the three words I say. I don't know what's happened because I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, it's positively insane what is going on. The month began with Tom Brady retired. March 1st, 30 days ago.
He was retired.
Out of football. Middle of the month. The Ides of March, day before. 14th of March. He unretires.
He's back.
Now it's March 31st, and the Buccaneers are having a press conference to announce Bruce Arians is retiring.
Wow.
I don't know. Again, that's why we're going to have Sam Farmer out here. He and Peter King broke the story together. I don't know. Why would Bruce Arians step down when Tom Brady's coming back? This is the time you stick around. And, you know, why now? How does this is, you know, this is on the level of sneaking up on you like Tyreek Hill wants out. Like, why does Bruce Arians want out? Well, apparently he decided earlier this month he wants out. I guess now we know why he wasn't in the coach's photo a couple days ago. He was one of the four who was missing.
He was.
I don't know.
Good eyes.
I don't know. He could have just already been in a cabana. Knowing him, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Knowing Bruce Arians.
Couple fingers?
I don't know. And so he's now a senior football consultant for the front office. Todd Bowles, longtime assistant and former Jet coach, one of the greatest humans you can ever meet. Period. End of story.
Yeah.
He's got a 5-year contract now as the new head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you put it all together and it all comes up with the same. I don't know what's happening anymore. And so I already know what people are saying because one of my people are saying it. You, sir.
Oh, hey, Rich.
You don't buy it.
I don't. It doesn't pass the smell test.
Okay. A lot of people don't buy it. Brady, all sorts of conversation in February that Brady and Arians didn't get along, and that's part of the reason why Brady said goodbye. Right? And retired without saying the word retired. And then he unretires. And now Arians retires, but long enough time in between everything, certainly with Arians coming up with the idea in early March to say he's no longer interested in playing anymore or coaching anymore. And then Bowles not hearing about it until just this past weekend, on Monday, that that's just enough time to cover some tracks. Okay. Here. And I guess that means you don't buy Brady's 4-paragraph, multi-paragraph farewell hug on Instagram to Arians, which he posted at Tom Brady, thanking him, a great photograph, and calling him smart, tough, and loyal. Happy you'll spend your much-deserved time with your loving and supporting family. Congratulations on an amazing coaching career, but more importantly, how you positively impacted me and everyone else in the game of football. I mean, these are 3 paragraphs. He didn't pop out there about Bill Belichick when he left or anything like that.
No, a couple of years ago. I mean, but I'm just saying that's an easy thing to just have right. I would bet that that's been probably written 3 weeks now, and then he was just waiting to hit send.
Or let me just give you the flip side, and we'll get Sam Farmer out here. Bruce Arians is pushing 70. We all know he was here just a couple of years ago talking about how he and his wife were afraid he might drop dead on the sideline. The coaching grind is significant. And he says part of his legacy, an important legacy, is that when he goes out, he gets to decide potentially who gets to take over for him, who gets to succeed him. That I totally believe. You just look at Arians' career, okay? 47 seasons of coaching experience, okay? And in that time, the number of times when he was in charge that he did, in fact, promote some form of diversity or inclusivity is significant. Mm-hmm. Significant. He's the first coach to hire 2 full-time assistant head coaches who are female, which he's done with Tampa. He was the first. Remember, Dr. Jen Welter was the first female coaching intern, which he had back in Arizona. And I understand people will push back and say, well, he's the guy that gave Antonio Brown a job. Well, there are many circumstances surrounding all of that. And he has 11 men of color as assistant head coaches, including Byron Leftwich, his offensive coordinator, who he personally mentioned when he said he was afraid of dropping dead on the sideline, mentioned when he was sitting in that chair that Leftwich was a guy who he would be able to hand the play calling to, because if he ever came back, he'd have to do that. He could not call plays anymore because he's afraid of dropping dead on the sideline. Remember that I had that conversation with him? And I'm like, literally you're talking about you're afraid of dying on the sideline? You're like, yeah. My wife and I have had that conversation. And so when he does go back to Tampa, guess who's calling the plays? Byron Leftwich. And who's a guy who is not thinking of coaching when Arians called him up and said, I think you can coach. You should do that. And he said, okay. And now look at him. And so he wants to, say, hand the reins to Todd Bowles now. Waited till after March 1st when apparently there didn't have to be some sort of whole hoo-ha in terms of looking for a next head coach. Certainly if the Rooney Rule is merely satisfied by Bowles, and now the rule requires another person of color to be interviewed when you're hired, but I guess not after March 1st. So he gets to decide it's Bowles. And who better, what better time to do it than with Brady's last year of coaching? And I'm assuming Brady had to know about this, which goes back to your point, Chris, that he wanted Arians out.
Brady ordered the code red.
Well, we're going to ask about all of that. But everything does seem to fall neatly into place as well. And I guess, does it even matter?
Nope.
If he wanted Arians out? Because he is back. And he made his announcement in time for all of his teammates who wanted to come back in terms of free agency to come back, with the exception of, I guess, Alex Kappa. Although Ndamukong Suh did tweet out today, congratulations on Arians leaving and for a team that's one big man short of Shy right now, as I guess he's not signed yet. I think he was one of the last two signed last year as well. Mm-hmm. Congrats to Todd Bowles on becoming head coach of a great team that still feels one man light on talent. Suh tweeted out today.
That's a great tweet.
With the googly eyes that Kyle Brandt loves so much. So the narrative, in my mind, fits. I know for you it still doesn't, and for a lot of people out there. But I guess when it all comes down to it, it doesn't matter, okay? Because Leftwich is still the guy calling plays, mm-hmm. and Bowles is still a guy who is a leader of men and terrific. And I think, you know, obviously.
And the Bucs are going to be one of the Super Bowl favorites. Like, and that's the I only know. Thing that matters.
Exactly. Yeah. And congratulations to Todd Bowles, who spent all those years with the Jets getting his ass kicked by Brady. And now he gets to actually coach Tom Brady. Which is, again, Arians' gift going out the door. Being the guy who can do this for Todd Bowles and pulling the trigger, which is part of Arians' legacy. On top of being a damn good, successful grinder of a coach. 47 seasons of coaching experience. 47. Okay? He started coaching with Bear Bryant back in the day. He went to Temple, we all know. We all know this is his third retirement, right? Mm-hmm. One's from Arizona, now one from Tampa, and one from, in quotes, Pittsburgh. Remember that? Yes. When they said he was retired,
and they said he was retired.
He told us on our podcast version of the show, from which this show is born out of. So this is like 10 years ago. He said he was driving home, right, driving south with his wife, and the phone rang while they're in the car, and it was Chuck Pagano from the Colts, and he said his wife cursed. Because they thought it was, she thought this would be it, and the coaching career would be over, and she just knew. I think the story was, you're going to take this job, aren't you?
She knew.
Well, certainly, if it's like, hey, how'd you like to coach Andrew Luck?
Yeah.
He coached Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, because he's with the Colts, previously, Big Ben from his Steelers days, Brady, Carson Palmer. How about this fact? He's one of only six coaches to win multiple Coach of the Year awards. Multiple. Okay. His first being, by the way, an interim. He won Coach of the Year when he was the interim when Chuck Pagano had to step aside due to his health concerns. So he's the only one on the list to have that part of the equation. But the only coach in the history of the NFL to win Coach of the Year twice and win a Super Bowl. The other five are named Belichick, Parcells, Gibbs, Ditka, and Don Shula. It goes Parcells, Belichick, Gibbs, Ditka, Shula, Arians. Way to go, BA. And we're going to miss him. Oh, my God, are we going to miss him in the press conferences, because everything that he is with the media, Todd Bowles, is most certainly not. And just Arians, just this past, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it feels like 3 years ago because March is everything all jammed into 1 month in the NFL 2022. At the Combine, remember that? When people are like, yeah, Brady, the rumor at the Combine was Brady was thinking of coming back, but not for the Bucs because who the hell is Bruce Arians? And there's apparently, you know, some friction there. And he denied that vehemently. And then in terms of the idea, if he wants to come back and play for the 49ers, he's like, yeah, that basically that would cost multiple first round picks. And it's not happening anyway. And everyone's like, well, it's not your decision. And maybe kind of it was because in his mind, he was heading to the front office where he currently is and will be. And as he texted his players last night, In a text that I saw, because that got out on Twitter as well with my buddy Mike Garofalo, first on the timeline with that one yesterday from the NFL Media Group, saying that he'll still be around, cussing the players out when they screw up. That's what he texted the guys. I'll still be around. I'll be in the front office. I'll be around ready to cuss you out when you screw up.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
That's it. That's my guy.
Yeah, Tom Brady had enough of those, and he got.
Well, that's your narrative, and that's a lot of people's narratives, and I need to have that either refuted, confirmed, pushed back, and it's somebody who would know about it, because he helped break the story, or was part of the tandem that break the story. I shouldn't say help. He and Peter King together broke the story. How about that? Two Hall of Famers breaking the story about a guy who could be in the Hall of Fame one day, Bruce Arians. Sam Farmer of the Los Angeles Times. And that's how we're going to take a break. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. When we come back in studio from across the way, Sam Farmer from the Los Angeles Times right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Good times, man. Yeah. Sam Farmer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our terrestrial radio audience, we say hello to you. Once again, hour number one of the 3 hours of the Rich Eisen Show. Josh Lucas will be joining us, the actor, in person. Becky Lynch in hour number two, a WWE Raw Women's Champion. And then we'll have a lot of fun with the phone calls, 844-204-RICH. But joining me here again, Sam Farmer, the Los Angeles Times on the program. You and Peter King with quite the scoop. I mean, it hit my timeline yesterday. I'm like, this month is off. Hook.
Crazy.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about that a little bit more with you once we kind of get through everything here. So when did it come on your and Peter radar screen that Bruce Arians was going to retire from the NFL? When did that happen?
Well, we had talked to Bruce, you know, it was obviously post Tom coming back and we had a talk with Bruce over the weekend when I was at the meetings. I had arrived at the meetings. Actually, I had dinner with Bruce on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Peter couldn't make the meetings. Family situation, mm-hmm. wasn't able to make the meetings. So we had known about it a few days. And highly unusual to be behind the scenes. I won't say we were working in tandem, but we both understood the timing of this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might do that with a colleague at your own place, but a guy from a different media outlet. Peter and I have known each other for 25 years, but still unusual and, you know, just very thorough, great integrity. We interviewed Bruce together, and it turned out to be a good experience.
So, okay, when, I guess then I should have, instead of flipping it, let's flip it onto the actual subject of the, when did this timeline, because the timeline of Arians' decision is part of a huge conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
That, as you know, was born in February by Brady's initial decision to retire. And the idea was Arians and he were not getting along. So let's place that aside for the moment and just get directly into the timeline as best you can tell of when Arians decided and how the announcement came about to retire. Sam.
Yeah, so the days do run together. I was talking in the green room to somebody, and I thought it was the weekend right now. So my forgive me if my days run together, but it was almost a week, probably a week ago, maybe, that that I knew this was going to be coming down the pike. And, you know, Peter and I were careful not to work too much in tandem. We are competitors, but we had a timeout, an interview with Bruce. And so that was, I think, on Saturday?
Right. But I'm talking about Arians' decision.
When Arians' decision. Well, I mean, if you listen to Bruce, Bruce talks about wanting to retire after last season and really flirting with the idea of retiring after winning the Super Bowl. And going out on top. And then Jake, his son, really convinced him to come back and make another run at it. And so he did. And I think that Bruce was considering retiring right after the season, certainly after the Super Bowl, watching the Super Bowl. And, you know, he, so Tom retired. When Tom came back, Bruce, to hear Bruce tell it, that set up Todd Bowles with a team that was a competitor, you know, the Super Bowl competitive team. And so Bruce felt like good about handing it off. But I think Bruce was going regardless.
So, but why then wait till March? You know what I'm saying? Like, why, if he's going to go?
So when the window does close, the interview window closes, he's able to directly hand the team to Todd Bowles as opposed to going through the whole interview process. And it locks in all the assistant coaches.
Interesting.
It's, you know, he felt bad about the way he retired in Arizona because he wanted James Betcher to be the coach. Steve Wilkes got the job. Cardinals went 3-13, and Wilkes lasted one season. But that whole staff got blown out. And so he said by waiting, he was able to, you know, the window closed. I don't know if this was his plan or this was just a happy accident that Todd Bowles could get the job. They wouldn't have to go through the whole process, the interview process, and those guys would be locked in. Those assistants would be locked in. But it is a mystery. It's, you know, people are going to put two and two together. They're going to speculate about that. And, you know, I don't think Tom's ever going to come out and say that this was a quid pro quo or I'll come back if Bruce isn't there. And Bruce certainly isn't saying that. So I think there's going to be that speculation.
Well, it's the exact opposite. I mean, you look at his Twitter. I mean, he's tweeting out his Instagram and all of his posts. Brady sends like a big love letter to Bruce Arians, who I think even responded on Brady's Instagram account with his, you know, famed thanks, brother, with his emoji of his drinking glass, you know. And so, you know, and Arians was very vehement when I think what it was former player Rich Orenberger tweeted out that Arians and Brady were not at all on the same page, that Arians was, you know, kind of sticking his nose in the game plan that Brady and Leftwich had concocted. I mean, like that is the narrative. So is there any smoke in that? Is there any, I guess, fire behind that smoke?
Not from my reporting with Bruce, but again, I wouldn't anticipate that he would. Now, I asked him about that. You know, are you leaving? Is this part of Tom coming back? And And what was your relationship like with Tom? And he said, listen, I've got friction with every quarterback I've coached, whether it's Peyton, whether it's Tim Couch, whether it's Andrew Luck, you know, Bruce or Ben Roethlisberger, because I cuss every one of them out. And there's going to be, and you've got two guys in Brady and Bruce. You got a guy who's almost 45, a quarterback who's almost 45, a coach who's almost 70, which tells you they're both going to be set in their ways.
Yes.
And know that they have a way that they like to do things and have things done. And they're both always going to be on the bubble of retirement. And so, again, I think this speculation will live on forever, but I don't think either guy is going to betray that. It's going to be someone who was a third party to that, witnessing that and saying that. But I haven't heard that compelling case yet.
Because the timeline that you have laid out and Arians has laid out and the Bucks have laid out and your reporting with Peter King has laid out does have Brady saying farewell, right? And does have Arians around the beginning of March thinking, you know, maybe this is going to be it. Then Brady comes back, and then 2 weeks later, Arians steps aside and Bowles is gone. That does leave enough air in there for a Brady, I'm not coming back if Arians is coming back.
Yeah.
And then things work in motion where Arians is like, you know what? This could be perfect timing then. Like, I don't want to have what happened in Arizona to have happened here. I can make all the maneuvers and push the levers to make sure my guys are taken care of. I'm now going to go in the front office. I leave here, my head held high. He's not in a hospital because I know that's part of his concern is his health concerns.
Right.
And it's a win-win all around. Like, is that a possible sort of scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I don't
and
think
you know, that, we don't traffic in this sort of thing,
right.
You know, but this is the stuff that is being trafficked right now.
I don't think the timeline precludes that. My reporting at this time has not led me there, but has not barred the possibility of that. I just, you know, don't have independent reporting that supports that this was an arrangement where, you know, Tom, I can certainly see if you want to follow the breadcrumbs there, you can see that. But, you know, at least as far as I know, I can't say that I can't connect those two with a direct line.
Sure. And then because the timeline does also allow for the idea that Brady on his own decides to retire because he just doesn't know. And then he goes through his 6 weeks of walkabout or, you know, hanging out or what have you.
Yeah.
And he decides, you know what, I really want to come back. And at the same time, Arians is going through all of this stuff. And he's like, if I wait till after March, hey, you know, this can actually help out where I set everybody up. And those two actually come to what? Glazer's attention or Light's attention. And voila, you've got Brady back. And Arians now gone, and they actually, Arians and Brady, genuinely like each other, and that Instagram account is all flat out like what it intends to be.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I guess the two strange elements of this, that the puzzle pieces that might not fit is, you know, Tom walking away after, you know, being in the MVP conversation and coming so close
great.
And playing so well, you know, belying his age as we've seen that and picking up velocity when he came to Tampa, it really seemed like he got better as opposed to some of the other quarterbacks at the end of their careers and Peyton and Drew Brees and losing velocity and Bruce walking away from a team with Tom Brady and a chance to win another Super Bowl and maybe cement his Canton legacy. You know, that is going to be part of the big mystery. But it's going to have to be somebody else who steps up and is ready to pass along that information because I haven't gotten that, but I've certainly heard the speculation.
Sam Farmer, the Los Angeles Times here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, your favorite Arian story you can tell? is what?
My favorite Arian story I can tell is when he was a kid and his mom worked at the York, Pennsylvania. His mom worked at the York peppermint patty factory and would bring home the reject peppermint patties and in a paper bag, in a grocery bag. And Bruce, one night, was feeling a little peaked, and his mom brought home one of those bags of peppermint patties, and he ate the whole bag and vomited, and now cannot stand peppermint patties. And in fact, we had dinner on Saturday night, and Bruce was getting a drink and made clear, no mint in the drink, please. And I said, does that stem all the way back to the peppermint patty story? And I got another Bruce story.
So did he say yes? That
yes,
it did?
Yes.
It's so to all, this day?
He cannot be in the same room as a peppermint patty. And he's from York, PA, and those were once his staple.
I love those. York peppermint patties are so good.
They're excellent. Yeah.
But I have not. Can confirm. Wow. Our excellent sources say they are in fact excellent.
One or two of them are good. Another, not a bag, though.
Right. A bag of reject.
Now I've been to the Jelly Belly factory and gotten the big bag of belly flops. They call them the reject Jelly Bellies. So I know what eating to the point of vomiting is and how that might affect your tolerance for those things. But I will tell you the one other Bruce Arian story.
Yes.
He had a bowling class in college, and it taught him about running a bowling alley, and he was working behind setting up the pins. And if it was a good-looking girl in the class or a girl he liked, mm-hmm. he would reach through with a broomstick and knock over the pins. And if there was a guy in the class that he didn't like, he would reach back in and reset the pins after the guy's first roll. So he'd set up a 7-10 split. He'd manufacture that.
So let me just get this straight. So for a guy that doesn't like, you know, rolls the ball down the lane, it's clear that like 8 pins have knocked down, right?
Yeah.
So he would then set up the 2 remaining pins much further away than they actually were.
Exactly.
when he's clearing the rest.
He would make sure that after the machine, he would sneak his hands in there and make sure that he'd set him up with an unfavorable set up for a second. Even if the guy had a strike, maybe he'd set one back up in there.
I love the guy, man.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite people that I have met.
One of a kind.
He's one of my favorite people that I have ever truly met in this business. And lucky to say that. And his foundation is great. His friend, and I can't wait for the Caliendo video to come out of his retirement speech or something like that.
Yeah.
Love the guy. I absolutely love the guy. Sam Farmer here on the Rich Eisen Show. In the few minutes I have left with you here. So this month has been off the charts. How long have you been covering the NFL for the Los Angeles Times or in general? Just for everything?
In general, 28 years.
Okay.
28 years.
What is happening? I get that a lot from friends and people, tweets, whatever. Like, what is happening? And I know that that's a general statement,
right.
But there has to be a reason, right? Why we're seeing so many movable parts of what would be previously unthinkably movable parts in the NFL this past month, do you think?
Well, I do look at the last 2 years, and you look at the last 2 Super Bowl winners, and those are teams that, by different methods, got an elite quarterback. And let's particularly look at what the Rams have done. They haven't had a first-round pick since Jared Goff. Les Snead has dealt those picks, and the notion of mortgaging your future, giving away those picks, finding guys in later rounds, but getting established veterans, whether it's Matthew Stafford or Jalen Ramsey or any number. Von Miller and they gave up a lot for Von Miller, and that really set the table for the Broncos to do the Russell Wilson move, because I think George Payton felt a lot more comfortable having that fourth round pick, having other picks, giving away such a haul to Seattle because of that Von Miller trade. So so I think the idea of dealing picks, teams are much more willing to do that and grab established players. But I don't know if that fully explains it, but it is a copycat league, and we see that notion of buy now, pay later, that we really saw with the Niners in 94 and the way they were able to parlay that team early at the first year of the salary cap and Carmen Policy, what he was able to do, build that all-star team and then won the Super Bowl with that team. I think people have been chasing that notion of building an all-star team and winning with it. And the Rams proved they were able to do that. And that sort of at least set the environment, I think, for some of the things we're seeing now.
And then on top of it, too, well, it's an excellent theory. And then it could be in convergence at the same time with a time in the NFL where players seem to have more leverage than ever before. Perfect example is Davante Adams, okay? Mm-hmm. Where I think, you know, if this was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm just choosing a number out of the top of my head. But Davante Adams having a franchise tag, and we say it on the show, slapped on him, because there are two ways to put a franchise tag. You either place it on somebody or slap it on somebody, depending on how it's received by the player who's being tagged. Okay, yeah. So it's slapped on him. He doesn't want it. He knows it's coming. He knows it's going to be there, and because it's over a year now of negotiating, apparently. It goes back to last summer, right, where he wants a contract, and then there's an argument about, you know, how to look at DeAndre Hopkins' contract and real, who is the highest paid receiver in the NFL on an annual basis anyway, right? But that's what's going on with Davante Adams. 5 years ago, the answer from the Packers might have been just too bad. Mm-hmm. You're franchise tag. We got Aaron Rodgers back in the fold. We'll figure it out with you. And while we figure it out with you, you're here. Mm-hmm. We don't care that you used to room with Derek Carr. We don't care that you want to be a Vegas Raider. You're here. Now, though, he's a Vegas Raider. They trade him. And Tyreek Hill's another example where a player might be in a spot where I want to get paid. And the answer would be, too bad. Now it's different. I think you put those two things together and you have March of 2022 off the charts.
Yeah, you know? And I think, and it's been building to this. I think the player empowerment thing has been over the last 5 years. And we've seen guys force their way out of teams. And you know, even an Antonio Brown or, you know, we've seen guys do what they want to do and get where they want to get.
Including Deshaun Watson getting all that guaranteed money. That's
insane.
Out of everything that happened this month, and in hour three, we're going to run through everything. And good thing we've got a 15-minute segment for it. Out of everything that happened this month, the one that might last the longest in terms of a reverberation is that deal. That he gets every dollar guaranteed.
Yes. Now, is that an aberration, or, you know, is the Russell Wilson deal going to be the you know, the benchmark? Is that going to be, or is there another deal that's going to come along? Because I know that had a chilling effect with a lot of GMs. That wait, we're going to have to start giving 100% guaranteed deals to guys. And
I'll tell you what, I don't want to be the first GM or owner to have to deal with that situation with my. You know, dynamite face of the franchise. And that's why I have this Eric Burkhart, Kyler Murray stationery manifesto sitting on my desk, because this kid may be the first one up that's saying every dollar, Mr. Bidwell, better be guaranteed, because I don't have 22 civil cases and I don't have all that deposition video that's going to be leaking out day in and day out, maybe for months and years to come. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to be the first one to deal with that.
Yeah. And so you're basically, if you're a GM, you're hitching your career to that player. And when you're, you know, 100% of their salary is paid or guaranteed, it's a brave new world.
Yeah. So I think maybe that's what it is. It's just there's just a few things that have happened all at once from as you say, Brady saying, let me try something completely different. And Matthew Stafford has the same idea. And Les Snead is like, FM, all them picks. And then at the same time, players are beginning to get the NBA treatment from NFL owners.
And it does feel like it's been percolating over the years. And maybe this is the year it came to a head. And now we're going to see the seismic shift, in the NFL. But player empowerment, and I wish I had more examples that would immediately spring to mind right now, but that's been on the lips of a lot of people for a while, that is changing. The players are getting increasing their leverage, and it's come to a head this year.
Sam Farmer, greatly appreciate your time. Thank you for coming in here. I know you're on
this is awesome.
We're right across the street.
You know, yeah, from you. Right across the street, although
okay.
I'm seldom at the office. So thank you for having me down.
Anytime, Sam, you know that.
And you know, you borrowed the best dad ever placard from me.
No, it's
I
okay.
have that T-shirt, and they've retired the trophy, but... I think it's neat that you honor me by bringing that up.
Well, you know what? I think you're like the Brady. You're unretiring. You know, you're unretiring. It's just a crazy month. It's a crazy month. We're all coming at the title. You best not miss, as you know. I don't mean to be so aggressive, certainly, since you're kind enough to be here. Anytime, man. Let's do this again because, I mean, by the way, draft month starts tomorrow in Las Vegas, Nevada. And then just one last thing before I send you on your day. Gents.
Yes.
How many times did we come on the air in January talking about the Super Bowl is here and one of the two teams that are playing in the $5.5 billion stadium in Los Angeles, California is making it and they won it. You, Sam Farmer, were the only one. Every single Super Bowl that I witnessed from the start of NFL Network in Houston in calendar year 2004 between Jake Delhomme's Panthers and Brady's Patriots all the way up until probably about 5 years ago. You were the only one to ask Roger Goodell a question about when's football coming back to Los Angeles. Only one. What was that like to you to see that thing this past year?
Oh, it was, surreal.
Right?
Even when the stadium was being built, I thought, is this really happening? Is this... because that has been the number one story in my career, the number one focus of my career. You know, my capstone question when the Chargers came, Rams came, the Chargers came, stadium, everything, I had to ask that last question. And that's when I asked Roger in Houston. It was in Houston for that Patriots-Falcons game. Mm-hmm. I asked him, when is LA going to stop getting teams?
What do you say to that?
Oh, yeah, he laughed. But I did bring up this trip. I did bring up, I said, you know, the owners' meetings, which is so inside baseball for us, the owners' meetings, there's a rota that it's basically Palm Beach, Orlando, and Arizona. So I asked Roger this time, actually, just offhandedly, we were talking, and I said, when is LA going to get an owners meeting? So that's the new push.
Very good. By the way, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and there was in one year it was in Maui. That was when Tagliabue was retiring. That was a basically retirement gift to Tagliabue. Seriously, you laugh, you're all you want.
That's amazing.
The one year it was in Maui. It was in Hawaii.
Ritz-Carlton in Maui.
Right, and I was there, and that was to say thanks. You know, Paul, bring your family, and we're gonna send you into retirement with an owners meeting, and that was the one where I saw Tom Coughlin in the spa.
Oh, right. Oh,
wow. Yeah, that was
where I saw
a lot
Tom
of the owners
Coughlin
didn't like that. It was just too far to travel.
I saw, by the way, I know we're way over, so just before, I'd love talking to you. I saw Tom Coughlin in a spa. I'm getting ready for a massage. He comes in a white terry cloth bathrobe and white terry cloth slippers, and we sit down, and it's, you know, you just hear the water trickling on the bonsai tree that's there, and you hear them, you know, the new age music, and I'm just sitting there, Coach, Rich. He just sits there and he goes, what time is it? And I'm like, just look up at the wall. And I'm like, it's 1:45. And he just says, my massage Like, where's my, that should, it should have started 5 minutes ago. And he walks up to the desk and I'm like, did I just see Coughlin time applied to some poor, you know, massage therapist? It's fantastic.
When I
just
Zen,
looked around, I'm like, I looked around at all the men's health magazines and I'm like, if somebody else was only here to actually witness this thing.
Yeah. When I think Zen and I think of massages, I think of Tom Coughlin. It's very, right, you know, at peace with himself. And
thanks for coming in, Sam Farmer.
Thanks so much,
at
Rich.
LA Times, Sam Farmer. At LA,
LA Times Farmer.
At LA Times Farmer. Follow him on Twitter. I do as well, even though I didn't know it's to handle off the top of my head. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for anything that you miss here on the Rich Eisen Show. We've got a busy second hour coming up. Becky Lynch is joining us. You've got a one in the chute, as always, right? To ask a top-notch, bona fide megawatt wrestling star that she is.
Something I've been wondering.
Okay, yeah. Very good. And then Josh Lucas will be here. You know what? I have many questions for him,
I bet you do.
Including a stupendous celebrity true or false. Okay. Including the man who played Don Haskins on Glory Road.
Yes, he did.
Ford versus Ferrari is just a... That will be one of those sports movies that doesn't get mentioned as a sports movie.
Yes.
Because it's more than that. But that was a great movie.
It's such a good film.
One of the actors in it, Tracy Letts, currently playing Jack McKinney in Winning Time.
Right.
God, I love him. By the way, he's a tremendous actor and an even better writer, playwright.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Look it up.
Yeah, I think August Osage County was written by Tracy Letts. Yes, indeed. That's the way I roll here, talking football and Tony Awards.
Versatile, Rich.
You are correct.
What can I tell you?
Versatility.
Thank you very much. Thank
you
so much.
He's won two Tonys.
He's, I'm telling you, man, he's an incredible, I'd love to get him on this program. I'd have a lot to talk about with him. But anyway, Josh Lucas will be joining us. And then in hour number three, we've got food on the brain, as always.
always.
We'll explain to you why we're having somebody at the top of the Primanti Brothers flowchart on this program. Can't believe it, man. What a month. And that's what we'll do in hour number three is we're 5 minutes away, by the way, not only from the start of hour two and Becky Lynch joining us, but also... the press conference in Tampa, where Todd Bowles will be introduced as the new head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Bruce Arians will be introduced as the new, let me get this right, senior football consultant, the old SFC and TB.
Me too. That's my title too, Rich.
You're a senior football
senior
consultant?
Senior football consultant.
Is that what you want to be?
I think so.
Okay, great.
I thought you were head of HR here.
I have multiple titles.
You know why he's the senior football consultant around here? Because I threatened to retire if he was not if he was in his regular position.
And now Rich is back.
And now back.
And I'm moving to a different position.
And technically, I never left. Technically, I never left.
Neither did Tom.
Thanks, Stephen C. It's called full circle, everybody. It's called full circle. All right, that's the end of hour number one. Becky Lynch is on this program when we come back. But we're still here on Peacock. Let's take a phone call right here. Mitch in Tampa, right where it's all going down. What's up, Mitch? Uh-oh. Mitch.
Hey, can you hear me, Rich?
Yes, we can, Mitch. You're off.
Oh,
you're, get off mute and get on the show. What's going on?
Yeah, man. Oh, so good to talk to you guys.
Same.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm in Tampa. And, you know, I got so many thoughts, you know, throughout this entire offseason. But the biggest thing is, I know with you, you know, being a big Jets fan, you know, your experience with Todd Bowles, I think, I mean, I love Todd Bowles. I think he's going to be a great addition. Just tell me what you think. What do you think he's going to bring to us?
Oh, gosh.
Is it going to be adjustment? What do you think?
He's going to bring a little bit more. He's going to be just as intense, but a little bit less so. I don't know how many people he's going to cuss out like Arians. And again, in the same way that you really couldn't evaluate a lot of what was going on with what you can't evaluate with a quarterback if they're not surrounded with parts. I mean, you know, he was a guy who's like, let's go and get Sam Darnold, everybody. Let's go trade up with the Colts, you know, and let's go get Sam Darnold. And it just didn't work out. And then they swap him out for Adam Gase. What more do you need to know as to whether or not he was worthy of whatever evaluation with the Jets? This will be a much better evaluation, and I think Todd Bowles is terrific. I've met him.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be a terrific head coach of this team, and I think players are going to follow him big time.
Oh, absolutely. One last thing. I found out like 2 days ago, did you know his daughter? Do you know who his daughter is married to?
I do not know that.
Tyrann Mathieu.
How about
that? What do you think about that? Think there's any chance we bring him in? What do you think?
Oh,
it'd be a good fit.
The plot thickens.
Oh, my gosh.
The plot thickens.
So Bowles is going to bring in his son-in-law? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying, look. I don't think if Tyrann Mathieu's back there, I don't think the Rams, I don't think Cooper Kupp's that wide open, but I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for the call. Greatly appreciate it.
You want to keep those grandkids close, right?
That's the way to keep somebody on the registry. Look.
I love this
stuff.
Hold
on a second.
Rich,
I know you love this stuff, but here's the crazy
thing.
Come
on.
He was still his son-in-law when he was a defensive coordinator. What, now he's the head coach? You're going to, now it's more,
it's a different
more
story.
Likely.
Now he has input on personnel. Input.
You got your name on the door.
I don't know if I'd want any piece of that on my professional plate, despite how great Tyrann Mathieu is. I don't know.